It's 8:41 on the Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley, inviting you to check out our services, not just on the radio, but online. We're at jeffexchange.org with program topics and recordings and a look ahead to future editions of the Jefferson Exchange, plus that streaming service. You can listen to the Jefferson Exchange and anything on any of the three audio services of Jefferson Public Radio through that website, jeffexchange.org, and its parent, ijpr.org. We're also on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and you can join our conversations as they happen. Get your dialing fingers ready for a cogent comment, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Public universities in many states spent the last several decades watching as funding directly from the state budget slacked off, frequently due to tax cuts. Measure 5 in Oregon and Proposition 13 in California both cut property taxes, requiring the state to pay more for K-12 schools, which left less for higher education. That meant more of the higher ed budget for the state universities had to come from tuition, which has risen sharply. And now there's talk of it rising again. Example, the University of Oregon plans to raise tuition more than 10% for in-state students and is talking about laying off 75 non-tenured faculty members. Other campuses are considering tuition increases. We'll hear from two of them right now. Emily Pfeiffer, name might be familiar to you. She used to work here on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the vice president of the Associated Students of Southern Oregon University. Emily, good to see you.
Good morning.
And we have with us Johan Platt, who is the president of the Associated Students of Humboldt State University. Johan, thanks for joining us today. Jonah, rather. Sorry, I got your name backwards. Jonah.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. So by the numbers, what is your school talking about in the way of increased percentages? Let's start with Emily.
Worst-case scenario, 12%, and best-case scenario, about a 5%. So somewhere in between there.
Which is, what was that, an amount of hundreds of dollars a year or even thousands, maybe?
Thousands.
Truly.
Yeah.
Thousands more.
Yeah. If we're looking at 12%, definitely.
Okay. And so, Jonah Platt, what's the story at Humboldt State?
For the CSUs here, so the California State Universities, it's looking, you know, not as significant as up there in Oregon, but for undergraduates, it's nearly $300, and it's a bit more for graduate students.
So I see that the tuition for an undergraduate would come to $5,472 a year. Graduates would pay up to $7,176. What are the total numbers looking like at SOU, Emily?
For a full-time student here in state, I think it's a little bit less than $8,000.
Right. Right, for tuition. That's tuition alone, nothing else in
that
there?
That pays for your tuition and fees, not like housing or off-campus housing or anything like that, just tuition and your student fee.
All right, so describe the mood on campus among students. I mean, this has got to be unwelcome news to people who are already probably getting a fair amount of student loans and or financial aid.
Yeah, students are definitely feeling the burden of this. Living as a college student in Ashland is already so expensive because you have things like rent that are more expensive here than they are normally. And then just the increased cost of tuition is just really the nail in the coffin.
So, Jonah, what's the mood at the HSU? There's already been some on-campus protests, I understand.
Yeah, people aren't very happy, you know. Students here, you know, we're all told that administration, that they're trying to support us and make this an environment that's healthy where we can strive and, you know, keyword student success. But, you know, when they're asking us to cough up the money to make those changes, it's just not in our best interest.
Get into the area, if you would, of cost of living, because Emily Pfeiffer reminds us that it costs a lot to live in Ashland. It's a desirable place to live, but as is Arcata. And I wonder if trying to live off campus gets expensive in Arcata for the same sorts of reasons.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of competition for housing right now. There's more spaces, or there's more people than really homes and spaces to live in right now. And this is a problem across California, but we're especially seeing it up here.
How close to the line would you say some Humboldt State students might be? Is it enough that a tuition increase of this magnitude might stop some of them from being college students?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Some would have to drop out, you know, because it comes down to kind of like Emily was saying, it's not only tuition and fees, but then it's like you also have to pay for your housing. You also have to pay for food. And anything else you require to, you know, get to school and everything else.
All right. So when we're talking potentially at Southern Oregon University, 5 to 12% for tuition increases. Linda Schott was here telling us about those numbers a few weeks ago. Is it the same sort of situation where some people just won't be able to continue?
I think that's pretty accurate. I think a lot of students here, specifically at Southern Oregon University, since it's one of the more inexpensive universities in Oregon, really rely on low tuition costs and wouldn't be able to attend this university if the tuition weren't as low.
I saw something about that even with this increase, potentially SOU would still be probably the not quite, if not the cheapest, then certainly one of the bottom two of the seven.
Yeah,
in the state system.
Be. Mm-hmm.
So how have you addressed this with the school administration at Southern Oregon University, Emily?
Well, our student body president, Tyler Takeshta, made a series of videos along with our vice president of finance and administration, and worked with that individual to make sure that students were gaining information about what the tuition increase will look like and why that's happening, explaining how state funding works and all of that, and how that affects the tuition levels here at SOU. And we also have a really great council called the Tuition Advisory Council, where we actually have the opportunity for four students to sit on that and work with administration on setting the tuition levels.
You know, I can imagine, obviously, it's part of my life, but it's a history lesson for students at Southern Oregon University. When you go back and review what state support used to be and what it looks like now, mm-hmm. what tuition used to be and what it looks like now, I mean, I can imagine some eyes get opened among the students.
Yeah, really. After Measure 5 passed, we saw the state just completely slash their funding for higher ed. And because of that, the rise of tuition didn't stop when that happened. So that just meant students were carrying the burden of increased tuition costs more heavily.
We were talking about the fact that at one time, I think the state support for the likes of Southern Oregon University was around 70% of the budget.
Yeah, more than two-thirds of your higher ed was paid for by the state, and now it's less than one-third.
Okay, it's under 15%, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way low. So a similar story, I know, at Humboldt State University. Jonah, how has this been addressed with school administration? What have you done to talk about the potential effects on students if this increase comes to pass?
So you're talking about our response as a student government or the administration here at the school?
Your approach to as student government to the administration.
Well, we had that... that walkout for anyone who wanted to be involved with that, speaking with media, talking with you right now, you know, thanks for reaching out. There's also the California State Student Association, who has, you know, formally opposed this tuition increase and has been advocating against it, as well as this Associated Students, as well as many others within California, have also passed resolutions opposing it. So there's actions. There's also a Board of Trustees meeting, which is the space where they're actually voting on whether or not to have that proposed tuition increase. So some of us, representatives and many students and other allies, are going there to the Board of Trustees meeting, which is actually next week, to formally oppose it in front of everyone.
Where is that meeting?
That is in Long Beach.
Okay, so that's the whole Cal State system that we're talking about here. Jonah Platt is the president of the Associated Students of Humboldt State University. Emily Pfeiffer, the vice president of the Associated Students of Southern Oregon University. We're talking about tuition increases envisioned for both campuses in several percentage points, which would create some more tuition payments necessary from students. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the issue. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is there some level of strength in numbers, Jonah, because we're not talking about just the Humboldt State campus. We're talking about the whole California State University system across multiple campuses. That it would seem like you have at least the ability to bring more voices to the table, if nothing else.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a few years back, the California State Student Association, you know, there was a tuition increase, but it wasn't supported by the full organization to oppose it. Yet this year, you know, here we are in the present, and actually we oppose it. So I really think that if the Board of Trustee members are listening at all to the students, then they will not approve this tuition increase. And I've heard people are on the line. They... you know, it hasn't been made up. It hasn't really been decided by many people of which way they will go.
What drives it? I mean, California's budget, at least at the moment, appears to be marginally more intact than Oregon's is. What's the reason being given for the increase at the CSU system?
Well, yeah, that you're bringing it to California. Well, California has actually been largely divesting from higher education, from public higher education. And yeah, that's really the full stance of the CSU, and that means everyone involved. It means the administrators, the chancellor's office, the students, the faculty. You know, it means everyone that we are asking that the state of California make it a priority once again to fund and support the students of the CSU and the other higher education systems.
Emily Pfeiffer, you're actually working sort of campus by campus now in Oregon, rather the opposite of what's going on at the California State University system, because of the fact that Oregon's once university system has now been divided up into separate campuses with separate boards of trustees. I wonder if that makes it a little lonelier to be dealing with tuition increases, because you're not essentially looking at the same level of increase that the other campuses are looking at in the state system.
Yeah, it's definitely a different way of doing things when you're working with a Board of Trustees model. Luckily, though, for Oregon students, like student leaders on campus, we have this great student association called the Oregon Student Association, and they have 9 member campuses across the state of Oregon, and they work together to fund higher education and make sure that the Oregon State Legislature is really thinking about Oregon higher education when making their budget.
Have there been trips to Salem yet? I remember from legislative sessions past that lots of students from Southern Oregon and other campuses went up to the legislature to say, please don't raise the tuition. Has there been that sort of outpouring?
Yeah, we actually had an Oregon student lobby day about a month ago, and we also had a rally on the same day where we were able to show up and meet with legislators from all across the state to talk to them about asking for their support for increased funding for higher ed.
So it's not just demonstrations outside the Capitol. You actually get to go in and talk to the members of the legislature.
Yeah, we actually get to lobby with them one-on-one.
And what kinds of things are you hearing back? I mean, we're still talking about, in the Oregon situation, a potential $1.6 billion shortfall as of the last revenue projection, which would have to be covered by something. And the supposition as well that the universities have to carry their own freight and on the backs of the students. So what kinds of things are you hearing from the legislators in response to the things you're asking of them?
Pretty much the same thing from most legislators is that we don't have enough money. You know, a lot of legislators will use the analogy of, you know, there's this pie and everybody wants a piece of the pie and there's not enough pie to go around. But yeah, so just not enough money because a lot of our funding that we used to get now goes to K-12. So.
And how do you counter that argument? I mean, it's easy enough to just say, well, okay, we understand. But you don't want to say that because it really does affect you financially.
Yeah, it really is up to the Oregon State Legislature, too, to find alternate streams of revenue to fund higher education as well. So,
have you said it as plainly as it's your job, please?
No, never, you know, never that blunt when talking to a legislator. But, you know, being, like, frank with them and reminding them that, like, it is their job to fund state higher education. So,
Jonah Platt at Humboldt State, I noticed that the California State University system says only 40% of students will end up paying higher tuition. The rest are covered by financial aid. Does that ring true? And if so, does it buffer the news any?
You know what? It actually, all right, so let's say I get financial aid and then this tuition increase happens. Well, maybe my financial aid would still cover it, but it doesn't mean I get any more money. It doesn't mean that I get any more grants through financial aid. So once again, what we were talking about, you know, the need to pay for housing, the need to pay for food, any other bare necessities, you know, if they're taking away money that I could be using to feed myself, then that does have an impact on me.
And I don't know how much you discuss with other students or whether it's just one of those realities of life, like when you're doing your taxes as an adult, you'd rather not talk about. But, I mean, do you ever compare notes, Jonah, with other students about the kind of debt load they're carrying?
We talk about it. We recognize it. And for some people, there's, you know, there's a sense of hopelessness. And for other people, it's like they understand they just have to, like, push on and keep on going and try to make things better.
Do you have any numbers on hand about what the typical debt load is for a student who graduates from Humboldt State?
Man, you know, there is like a number being thrown around for all student debt. I think it was in the trillions. It's just wild, but I don't have for California on hand.
Okay. All composite student debt. Yeah, passed $1 trillion, I'm going to say about 3 years ago now, for all students everywhere, or former students, I should say, in a lot of cases. Emily Pfeiffer, any idea what the number is, what the average load of debt is that students graduate from SOU holding?
Yeah, most students graduate with a little bit less than $30,000, like right around $30,000, for students graduating from SOU recently.
Okay, $30,000. So that's, well, you know, if you get a halfway decent job your first year, you're going to end up spending all your, that's like your whole gross salary.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So the SOU did just emerge from a retrenchment program a couple of years ago, so there have already been cuts to programs, I would assume, in your time on campus. So does it feel like there's never been a long period of just quiet when everything's stable and tuition is holding firm?
Yeah, I remember retrenchment started, like this retrenchment started my freshman year, and we saw a lot of programs cut. And so I've never really seen, you know, Southern Oregon University not thinking about, you know, ways to cut programs or ways to deal with our lack of funding.
So you're a senior getting close to the end. How do you help the younger students feel some sense of there's a good future ahead, despite the fact that there could be tuition rises on the way?
Yeah, just reminding them that they do have the power to really influence the state legislature through lobbying and really have their voice heard when they go up there to testify and lobby with legislators, that they really change really can come from action like that. It might not come, you know, within the next year, but it will definitely come, I think, someday.
Do you think for sure that the tuition increase is going to happen given the budget realities in Oregon?
I think a tuition increase will happen. I'm not sure that a massive 12% will happen. That's like worst case scenario.
Okay. And Jonah, what do you think about the prospects are for the tuition increase at the CSU system?
I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers that it won't go through.
Really, that it just will be stopped. And that meeting is next week, you said, in Long Beach, at Cal State Long Beach?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Jonah Platt, the president of the Associated Students of Humboldt State University. Emily Pfeiffer, the vice president of the Associated Students of Southern Oregon University, talking about tuition increases pending at both campuses. Thanks for joining us today in The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. We have more coming up. We'll talk to recording engineer Sylvia Massey coming up in hour number 2.